This is the part when I say Bono was unable to join us this morning, so I'll be accepting this award on his behalf, right? Oh, man. All I have to say is if you're not moved by that video, we need to brew stronger coffee at Crossroads. That's all I can say. I mean, there is something electric. Every time, I've seen this video dozens of times now, but every time I see it, there's something electric about the way that Bono is choosing to engage in a life that matters. And you just feel it. There is a weightiness to him that when you think about how he's living his life and how he's chosen to bend his life toward the truth that he found in the Bible, how it is playing out and impacting millions and millions of lives. And the thing I love about it is Bono was a music guy. He could have said, hey, my deal is music. That's what I do. But instead, he chose to engage in the world around him and has had this significant impact that when we just see just a snippet of what he's done, we're moved. We're moved. There's this guttural response that we all get when we see someone who, as I would say about him, is living in their calling. And you just feel it and you sense it. And sometimes we get glimpses of that in our own lives. Maybe that's why a couple weekends ago, I just completely lost it at one of our weekend services. It was the one when many of you were making commitments coming out of Consumed. And you were making decisions on how you were going to engage with your time, with your resources, with your money, to have an impact in the world around you. Right where you are, in our city and in the world. And I'm telling you, I sat in the balcony with my wife, and as I did that and saw you guys making those choices, I began to cry uncontrollably. I just couldn't hold it in. Such to the point that my wife said she felt like she needed to spontaneously spoon me in the service. Like, I mean, I was in the fetal position. I was so bad. And you know what? It's kind of how some of you felt on Monday night when Memphis took an L to Kansas, because you bet on Memphis to go the whole way, right? Yeah. I did too. I hear a go Jayhawks over here though. But you know, there's just this emotional guttural response when you see or when you get an opportunity to experience a fully engaged life. We all sense it. We all want it. But can I be honest and say that unfortunately those moments they're a bit too rare. Am I right? They're a bit too rare. Sometimes you feel it. You know, I've had it a couple times. When I went to Mamelodi last year, I fully felt alive in a way that I hadn't before. You know, if you're here and you're thinking about go New Orleans or go Mamelodi, let me just encourage you to go to an information session and check it out, because there's life change that can happen on those trips. But you sense it. You know, I've sensed it also when I've had a friend that I've been able to build a relationship with. And I watched this friend come to relationship with Jesus and had an opportunity to baptize him here. And you know what? That was just a moment of feeling fully alive. So we get glimpses of it, but unfortunately, it is just way too rare. And so what do? We get frustrated. I mean, I'll be honest with you and tell you that I have been regularly frustrated by the concept of calling. Regularly frustrated. And maybe you can identify. You have gifts. You have special skills. And people have told you this all your lives, but you can't seem to find the right place to leverage those. Or maybe you have a passion and a dream, something that's been put inside of you, but somehow lifestyle choices or the money you need to get started just doesn't seem to show up. And so you're in this place of limbo and you feel as if this fully engaged life is for other people and you're stuck on the sidelines looking in, wanting to get into the game. But let me ask you a question. What if that fully engaged life that you want is actually right at your fingertips? And in fact, what if every day you're choosing to walk right by it because you don't know it when you see it? Well, if that was true, you might feel like I felt. You might feel fooled or stolen from. You might actually believe that there is a physical or spiritual force or person that's trying to actively keep you from the fully engaged life that Jesus has for you. And if you think that, you'd be right. Not only would you be right, but you'd be consistent with something that Jesus said. This is what Jesus said to his followers one day. He said that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And then he says about himself, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You see, this verse begins to explain for me the regular frustration we can have when we feel like we're not living the fully engaged life. Because what Jesus is saying here is that there is a spiritual person. There is a spiritual being that actively wants to steal from you. And one of the things he wants to steal is the fully engaged life that Jesus came so that you could have. And he calls him the thief. Last week we talked about Jesus and temptations and the fact that there was a tempter. There was someone who came and tempted him. And what we're saying here, and the same thing Jesus is saying, is this same tempter also comes as a thief and tries to steal from us the the life, the fully engaged life that Jesus offers. And there's two deceptions of the thief. Two deceptions, and seems like he just regularly works. The one is he convinces you that, you know, something like we just saw with Bono's life, that's so unattainable. Come on, that's for other people. That this fully engaged life, it's out there. It's for other people. Or maybe this deception. The other deception is, well, but you're not worthy of that life. You don't measure up. Look at your life. You don't measure up. And what I want to say this morning is that that is the deception of the thief. And today, as we look at what Jesus said, we want to come against the deception of the thief, because the fully engaged life that Jesus came to give us all is something that not only does he give us the example of, and that's what we're looking at in this series, is how you can look at Jesus's example and how he lived his life. And not only does he give us an example, but he also came to give you and me the power to live that life. So that's where we're going today. I invite you now to just join me in a word of prayer. Let's just ask Jesus to show up and teach us. And Jesus, we do. We know that one of the statements you regularly made with your life was that you were engaged. And we want that. We want calling. We want purpose. And I know that you want to teach us about that. And so we're here to listen. And we ask this in your character. Amen. So not only does Jesus give us the example, but he also gives us the power. Because it is undeniable that Jesus knew what it looked like to live a fully engaged life. We have biographies of Jesus in the Bible, and one of them is written by one of his closest friends, a guy that was among the 12 friends that he kind of hung out with when he was here on earth. And his name is Matthew. And let's look at how Matthew describes an ordinary day in the life of Jesus. In Matthew 4:23, he says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And that was just an ordinary day. Come on! You thought Bono was engaged. Take a look at that. He was teaching, he was preaching the good news, and he was healing diseases and sicknesses among the people? Come on! Let's at least agree that's pretty engaged, right? That's pretty engaged. He was engaged right in the culture around him. He was engaged with the people who were in his path. Jesus lived a fully engaged life. And one of the other things we know is that he was, in fact, a powerful teacher. And Jesus, later on in this same biography in Matthew, he lays out what you might call the rules of engagement. The rules of engagement. How do we live this fully engaged life? He kind of lays that out for us. Later in the book of Matthew, in a collection called the Sermon on the Mount, collection of the teachings of Jesus. And today I want to look at just the first part of that, where Jesus kind of cast this vision for what it means to live a fully engaged life as a Christ follower. And as we do that, I want to say that much of what I'm going to talk about is for people who have made a choice to be in relationship with Jesus. These things that Jesus is saying happen when we choose to be in relationship with him. And I understand that a lot of us have made that decision, and that a lot of us are still considering if that decision is something we want to make. And regardless of where you are in that spectrum, awesome. Awesome. That's what we're here for, to be on this journey together. And what I also want to say is, if you're a person who hasn't made that decision, maybe what today will be for you is an opportunity to get a picture of what it looks like to live the life that Jesus is inviting you into. And so we can all be on this journey together. But what we find here is that Jesus goes on to lay out the rules of engagement. And he starts in the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount by kind of giving us a great vision of what it looks like to live a fully engaged life. And that's where we find these words in Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 13, where Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." What I want you to hear today, and we're going to repeat this over and over again because I want you to hear it. The deception of the thief says that you are either not the person who's meant to live this fully engaged life, or you're not qualified. And what I want you to hear loud and clear is that what Jesus is saying is that when you're in relationship with him, you are called and you are qualified to engage right where you are. I'm going to say that again. You are called and you are qualified to engage right where you are. right where you are. Jesus uses two word pictures, salt and light. Salt, we know in that time, was used for a variety of purposes. Certainly they used it to season food in the same way we do today, but salt was also a preservative. And even today, there's still practices in food that we use salt as a preservative in. And what Jesus is saying to these people when he says to them, you are the salt of the earth, he's saying in the same way that natural salt can keep things from decaying, well, in the world, people who are in relationship with me, part of their purpose, part of their calling is to have a preservative effect on the world around them. To have a preservative effect in their families, to have a preservative effect in their friendships, to have a preservative effect on the institutions they're a part of, the communities they belong to, the governments they work in, the businesses they work in. You are the salt of the earth. You, in relationship with me, in relationship with Jesus, have an opportunity to be a preservative force in the world around us. You're the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. And he also says that you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Last week, we talked about this light representative of the mission that Jesus kind of focused and bent his life around, the truth of that mission. And Brian, I'm going to do my Brian Tome impersonation now. So, you know, Brian talked about the fact that when you find out what your mission is and when you know what your purpose is, you want to bend your life. Is this how he did it? You want to bend your life. Bend your life around the truth. You want to bend your life around the truth, right? That's what Brian did last week. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you. Now, if you guys don't see me up here for another year, you'll know why, right? But Brian talked about the fact that Jesus knew what his purpose was and he bent his life around it. Well, now Jesus is saying, hey, when you're a person who's in relationship with me and you find that purpose, not only do you bend your truth around this light, but you actually begin to reflect that light. You begin to have a life-giving force. Light has life-giving properties. We know that. And what Jesus is saying is, when you're in relationship with me, your purpose is to be a preservative force and a life-giving force in the world around you. You are called and you are qualified to engage right where you are. So there's three things I want you to know coming out of this passage. Three things. The first is this, that you are called. You are called. I used to work for a guy, his name was Phil. And Phil had a saying, he used to say, Chuck, you know, one of the things that's really important is we need to learn how to bloom where we're planted. You need to learn how to bloom where you're planted. How many people have heard that statement before? Bloom where you're planted. Well, Phil used to say that all the time, and that just really comes back to me when I think about spring. I thought we were in spring, now I'm not really sure. Like in the middle of the week, it was spring though. So at some point, spring will be coming. But one of the things we're starting to see is we're starting to see flowers. We're starting to see things bloom, right? And the thing that strikes me every year are daffodils. Daffodils, aren't they pretty? You're just seeing them everywhere, the daffodils. Well, here's what you need to know about me. I'm not going to talk about everybody else's daffodils. I'm going to talk about mine. Talk about my daffodils, okay? And what you need to know about me is I don't have a green thumb. And because of that, there's a lot of stuff in my yard that doesn't bloom where it's planted. It doesn't bloom where it's planted. Now, a friend of mine who knows more about gardening said to me, well, Chuck, you know, when you don't have a green thumb, the saying is that you have a black thumb. Right. So I have a black thumb. Actually, I have a black hand. Go figure. Some of you are like, can I laugh at that? Yes, you can laugh at that. You can laugh at that. We're among friends. You can laugh at that. But there's a whole bunch of stuff in my yard that doesn't bloom where it's planted. But daffodils amaze me because no matter how bad I think I am, my daffodils come up year after year. Daffodils know how to bloom where they're planted. And what Jesus is saying when he says, you, right now, you are the salt of the earth. Right now, you are the light of the world. If you're in relationship with me, he's saying right now, you're called and qualified to bloom where you're planted. That if you're a mother and you're spending time with your kids, or you're a father and you're spending time with your kids, that in that moment and the time that you spend with your kids, you can be salt and light. You can bloom where you're planted and you can engage right where you are. Many of us tomorrow are going to go to jobs, and maybe we like the job, maybe we don't like the job. But instead of thinking about the next job or the next thing, what this is saying is you are called and qualified to bloom where you're planted. That maybe there are relationships on that job that you can be investing in. Maybe there are people you can encourage. But wherever you are, whatever you do, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world as you engage right where you are. You're called. You're called. See, because the deception of the thief, says, you're not called. That life, that fully engaged life, it's out there. It'll happen when you get a new job. It will happen when you get this new thing. It'll happen when you know enough Bible verses. It'll happen when you get your life together. And what Jesus is saying is, no, you are called. You are called to be salt and light, to be a preservative force in the world around you, right where you are. Right where you are. You are called. The second thing I want you to know is you are qualified. You are qualified. You're qualified. Now, the thing that kind of, you know, I go back to what Andrea said. She talked about the verse in the beginning when we were singing. And she said that that verse can come across very overwhelming when the verse says things like you're to be growing and you're to be strengthened and you're to have more patience and endurance. And that can just become another to-do list. But what she said and what's the sweet part of that verse is we don't have to qualify ourselves. We are qualified when we're in relationship with Jesus. That's our qualification. And this really comes alive when you understand who Jesus said these words to originally. Because what we know is that Jesus, in all likelihood, had pulled aside the 12 guys that he decided to invest in and to build into, he had pulled them aside and he was saying these words to them when they were originally written. And to understand the power of that and how groundbreaking that is, we need to know a little bit about that culture. So here's what I want to tell you. I want to tell you that Jesus was a Jewish teacher called a rabbi in first century Israel. And so he's saying these words in that historical context. And we know a couple things about that context. We know what a Jewish teacher did in that context. But we also know the kind of students that a Jewish teacher chose to have follow them in that context. So let me just give you a little bit of history on that. What we know is that in that time, by the age of 10, boys, girls, all Israelite children would have memorized the first five books of the Bible. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I don't know if you spend any time in those books. That's a big old wow for me. Like, wow, they remember. They would know that by heart. Most kids would know that. But what happened after the age of 10 was there was a split. See, some kids showed promise. Kids who showed promise were encouraged to continue on in their study. But there were some kids who didn't show a lot of promise. And those kids were kind of gently coached out of the educational system. And they were said, you know, they said to those kids, hey, your dad's a shepherd, right? Yeah. You know, maybe you need to spend more time learning how to be a shepherd like your dad. Or your dad's a fisherman. Yeah. Well, why don't you pick up the trade of fisherman? That'll be good for you in the future. And so there was this split and this divide after 10. Now we know that from 10 to 14, those kids who showed promise, many of them would actually go on to memorize most of what we call now the Old Testament portion of the Bible, all 39 books. Now, if you thought, you know, the first five was a big wow, 39 books, man, oh my goodness, unbelievable. But that's what we know. That was just part of that culture. And again, even at that point, for many of them, that was the end. And we know that only an elite select few went on beyond that and had the opportunity, not the guarantee, but the opportunity to potentially study under a Jewish rabbi, a Jewish teacher like Jesus was. And we know that that was a very strenuous selection process. Now, here's what's so groundbreaking. When Jesus says these words, guess who he's talking to? He's talking to fishermen. He's talking to tax collectors. He's not talking to the select elite few. What I said in the first service is Jesus didn't go for the Walnut Hills crowd. He didn't go for the Walnut Hills kids, smart kids, but that's not who Jesus went for. Jesus went for those that were not able to get to the level of a Walnut Hills. And he's saying to those probably teenage boys at this time, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Unbelievable. But what he's saying there is your qualification has nothing to do with who you are, and it has everything to do with your relationship with me. And I don't know about you, but for me, that is really good news. That is really good news. You know why? Because I am completely unqualified. Completely unqualified for how God wants to use me. Completely unqualified. If you look in my past, you don't have to look very far to find a lot of things that I've done that have been of questionable moral character. And so you can look at my life and say, morally, he is completely unqualified. And you can look at my education, and here's what you won't find. You won't find a seminary degree. You won't find where I've gone and studied. You won't find where I've memorized the first 39 books of the Bible. And you know what? You can look at me and say, educationally, he is unqualified. He is unqualified, but you know what? I am qualified not in and of myself. I am qualified because of the relationship that I have with Jesus. And so are you. And so are you. See, this is the life that Jesus calls us to. And again, the deception of the thief. And I know even now, even in this moment, I think there are people right now. There's a voice in your ear. There's a prompting. There is something telling you, but wait. You know that's not you. Come on. Now, what about that secret thing that you've done all those years ago that nobody knows about? You think you're qualified? And Jesus' voice back to you comes against the deception of the thief and says, you're not qualified by what you do. You're not qualified by what you didn't do. But your qualification comes through relationship with me. So let me say again, you are called and you are qualified to engage right where you are. Right where you are. A couple of weeks ago, Gary Haugen was here. And Gary Haugen leads an organization called International Justice Mission. And what they do is they basically, they're modern day abolitionists. They free slaves all around the world. Sex slavery and other people who are in slavery for other things. They free these people. And what Gary talked about then is that there's so much darkness in the world that there's no doubt that this world has a tendency to go south. There is decaying things. When you think about how people are treated around the world, there's clearly issues that need to be resolved. And he said that we serve a loving God. And he said that, you know what this loving God's solution is to the world's problems? It's us. It's us. And what I love that he said, and God doesn't have a plan B. He doesn't have a plan B. We're it. So what Jesus is saying to those followers years ago, he's saying to us today that right where we are called and we are qualified to engage. We're called and we're qualified to engage. But I want to go back to this concept of the thief. I want to go back to that because you might be asking yourself, well, I'll give you that, Chuck, that there's a spiritual being and he doesn't want good for me. Why does he care about me? Like, I don't think I'm that special. Why does he care about me? Well, let's go back to what Jesus says, because after he lays out that we are salt and we are light, he talks about this practical application and what happens when we actually begin to move in our purpose or move in our calling. And this is what he says in Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know, sometimes it's helpful to read a different translation of the Bible. And this one is kind of a modern day translation. It's called The Message. Let's read this verse again in The Message. This is what it says in The Message. Matthew 5:16. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. And listen to this. Be generous with your lives. By opening up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Let me read that again. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Friends, not only are you called, and not only are you qualified to engage right where you are, but when you engage, you reflect the character of Jesus to others. You reflect the character of Jesus to others. So when you bring the creative energy that you have, these creative ideas that God has given you that help your business advance, you're reflecting the character of a creative God, of this ultimate creator. If you're in design and you're creating beautiful images or beautiful pictures or anything like that, you're reflecting the beauty of the creator right where you are. Right where you are. When you forgive someone, Even though you have every right to hold whatever that fault is against them for the rest of their natural life. But when you choose to forgive, it forces them to wrestle with the idea that maybe there is a forgiving God. And maybe I don't have to burn for all the stuff I did, but maybe there's an option where this God would actually offer forgiveness to me. When you're generous, when you're generous with your time or with your talents or whatever it is, when you're generous to people and you give them something expecting nothing in return, they start to see a picture of the character of Jesus as you engage right where you are. But the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I believe, like I said, that even right now, even as I'm talking, some of you have already discounted everything that I've said. You've already counted yourself out. You've already said that's for other people. You've already discounted yourself because of stuff in your life. You really don't believe this. You really don't believe this is for you. And I want to say, if you feel that way, that's the thief. That's the thief. Because see, the thing that we talked about reflecting Jesus, that's exactly what he doesn't want. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, but Chuck, there's no voice. I mean, you know, there's no voices. What are you talking about? Well, you know what? You know what? If it's a subtle thing to you, you know why that's the case? Because he's a thief. Thieves don't come through the front door. Thief doesn't knock on your door and say, hey, I'm a thief. I'm here to rob you. Right? They come through the back door. So those subtle discounts, those subtle things that make you think it's not for you, I want to come against the thief. And I want to tell you that's what it is. And what I want to tell you is if that's you, you need to know that there are people around you right now. There are people right here in this auditorium who are living a fully engaged life right where they are. People like Vivian Bechtold. Vivian's pictured there with her family and her kids and her husband. Vivian is a marketing exec at P&G. And Vivian's not waiting for the next job to be reflecting the character of Jesus, because she knows when she brings the best of who she is to the company, she is reflecting the excellence of God. And she also knows as a manager of people that every time she loves and cares for and supports a person, every time she gives them truth and love, that she's also reflecting the character of Jesus to the people she works with every day. She's engaging right where she is. People like Lucas Cole. I got a chance to meet Lucas and connect with him at a wedding recently. Some of you may know Lucas as the guy over the sex series. We did a sex series in the fall. And there was a guy who wrote a song and put it on YouTube. And we got a chance to play that song. Well, that was Lucas. And just cool stuff's going on in his life. Lucas, talented guy, plays the guitar. And so he wanted to get engaged. So Lucas said, hey, he answered a call for Crossroads Student Ministry. They were looking for someone to lead their music team. And Lucas said, hey, I'm going to lead the music team. I'll do that. Well, if you look at Lucas's picture, if it's not obvious to you, I'll tell you that Lucas is white. And so who do you think shows up for the first Crossroads music team meeting? About a dozen African-American teenagers. Now, let me let you in on a little secret. And I feel like I'm an authority and I can speak to this. Most African-American teenagers don't want to play the guitar. Some do, don't get me wrong, some do, but most don't. Most don't. But you know what they like? You know what many of them can do? They can rap. They can flow. They can rhyme. That's a part of the culture. It's a part of the culture. So here is Lucas leading the Crossroads Student Ministry music team, and there's 12 African-American teenagers that show up, and they want to rap. Talk about feeling unqualified. Talk about being in a situation where it would have been very easy to listen to the deception of the thief and say, I'm not called to this. I'm not qualified for this. But you know what? Lucas and three other volunteers are leading the Crossroads Student Ministry rap team. Yes. And I got a chance to hang out with Lucas and the other volunteers in that rap team. And let me tell you what I saw. I saw a man who was leading these kids. He was leading them in their music and he was leading them spiritually. And I saw these kids love and respect this man because they see and he's pulling out of them some things about purpose and some things about discipline and some things about calling that they may have never received before. They love what they're doing and it's amazing what's happening back there. There is some cool stuff going on with Lucas and the CSM rap team. This team is actually performing at schools all across the city. I got to watch these kids lead Bible study for each other. Look, I'm telling you, this is a great example of a person who said, I'm called and qualified right where I am. Right where I am, and awesome things are happening. That not enough for you? Well, let me share another story with you. Ron Hummons. Ron is pictured there with his shoes. Ron owns a shoe and a clothing company that he created on his own. But I don't think Ron would mind me telling you that his story began in prison. And that Ron was incarcerated. And when he came out of prison, he found that it was very limited in terms of job opportunities. Nobody wanted to give him a shot. Nobody wanted to give him a chance. And so Ron's engagement started on a park bench at Washington Park where he was homeless. And on that park bench, he began to engage by writing a business plan. Because he had vision. Because he had something that he knew he was called to. And instead of waiting until somebody else gave him an opportunity, he began to write a business plan. He began to listen to the words of Jesus that said, I'm called and qualified right where I am. And today, Ron is a successful business owner. And he hasn't stopped there. Actually, that picture is because he had an opportunity to ship several of his shoes over to Africa to have an impact internationally with what he's doing. And Ron is a mentor and a coach to other men who are incarcerated so that they know there's an opportunity and there is hope for them on the other side of this incarceration. Salt of the earth, light of the world. These people represent that. But we're not done. Let me give you some more. Ryan Buchholz. Ryan is a pediatrician at Children's Hospital. And Ryan really has a heart for what's going on globally around the world with kids. Really has a heart for that. And you know what? Ryan could have said two things. He could have said, well, I'm not really called for that. I'm a doctor and I need to do my physician thing. He could have also said, well, I'm not really qualified for that. I'm not a missionary. That's not necessarily who I am. But kind of like what Bono did, Ryan chose both. Ryan said, no, I'm called and qualified as a physician to have an impact on kids around the world. And so he's doing things for kids in Cincinnati, but he's also doing things for kids in South Africa, and he's doing things for kids in other places because he recognized that he was called and qualified to engage right where he was. Lori Valentine. Lori is pictured there with her daughter. And Lori is someone that you might remember her from the Consume journey. She was one of the people who shared their story. And one of the things that Lori had felt a prompting around is she felt called to more fully engage in the life of her family. And her kids as a mom. And so Lori decided, instead of following the corporate path, she decided to engage more fully at home with her kids. And let me tell you something, you can't do anything greater than that. There's no greater impact you can ever have than on the life of an individual child, especially your children. And so Lori is fully engaged where she is, recognized that she could be salt and light in her own home, in her family. And that's what she feels called to. And then Kim and Mark Botto. Didn't Kim do a great job of community life at the beginning of the service? She has another career in stand-up, I think. But, man, she's so good. And Kim said, hey, she does Kids Club. That's her day job. But what I love about Kim and Mark is they felt a calling and a prompting to engage where they were in their home through adoption. And so Kim and Mark have adopted a daughter. And they're building into this daughter and giving her an opportunity to grow up in a home with two loving parents. Two loving parents. And you know what that's going to mean for that daughter? But now what Kim and Mark are doing is they've engaged right where they are. They've engaged their community. And this summer, 15 more children from Ukraine are coming over, the same place where they adopted their daughter. 15 more children are coming over, many of them to homes where the families have already started the process of adoption for these kids. Salt of the earth, light of the world. See, you don't have to be a rock star to be engaged. That's the deception of the thief. I know many of you made choices coming out of the consumed journey. I talked about that earlier and just how that emotionally impacted me. And here's what I know, because I'm engaged too. I'm engaged with you guys and I'm hearing the stories. I know for many of you, man, things are rolling. You're seeing some things open up that have never opened up for you before. You're seeing those opportunities. You're following through and you're seeing blessings for that. And there's more to come. And I also know that there are some of you, you think that's the most stupidest decision you've ever made. And right now you're struggling through whether or not you really heard that right, or should you really do that? Am I really called to that? Am I really qualified to do that? And what I want you to know is, according to what Jesus says to all of us, you are called and you are qualified to engage right where you are. And I want to encourage you in that. I want to encourage you in that. Because my question is this: what happens? What happens if we all take these words of Jesus and say, yeah, that's true for me? What if we all live in the reality of being called and qualified to engage right where we are? I mean, imagine what it would be like if the person who's going to show up for work on Monday, and maybe you lead a team, instead of you feeling like that's a place where you bide your time so that you can do some really important stuff that matters later, what if right where you were in that work environment, you said, you know what, I can reflect the character of Jesus to the 5, the 10, the 15, however many people it is that are part of my work team. I am called to engage there. What would that work environment look like? What would it look like if teachers in here recognize that Monday through Friday, for 9 months of the year, you have an opportunity to love on kids and help them receive the love of Jesus in a way that they can understand. And you don't even need to say Jesus' name. But the kids know. We know. We all know teachers who just, you know when a teacher loves you. And the parents know. What would that do for that school? What would it do for that student? We all have a story like that. And what if the dad or the mom, when they come home from work, instead of them, you know, their kids coming to them, and they want to play and you're really tired. But what if in that moment you recognize that here's an opportunity to show my kids what generosity looks like, that even though I'm tired, I'm going to engage anyway. And I know by doing that, I'm going to teach my kid more about the loving character of God. What happens to that family? And if we all choose to engage that way, what would happen on your street? And what would happen in your city? And what would happen in the world? What would happen in the country when we all enter in a relationship with Jesus and say, hey, because of that, I am called and qualified to engage right where I am? I want to submit to you that that is how we change the world. That's how the world gets changed. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But thank God, the other part of that verse is also true. And Jesus has come that we would have life and have it to the full. So I want you to do something for me this week. I have two challenges for everyone in here. And if you have a program, I want you to take out your program. I actually want you to write these down. This is about engaging. And once you get that program out, somewhere on that program, I want you to write the number 1. And then a little bit under that, I want you to write the number 2. And I'm going to ask everyone in here to accept 2 challenges in this coming week. The first is this. Next to that number 1, I want you to write Matthew. And then I want you to write 5-7. Matthew 5-7. We talked about this Sermon on the Mount. We just read a little bit of it today. But Jesus offers a life that is radically different than the life that we've imagined. And he wants us to engage in that. And he actually taught on some rules of engagement. So what I'm going to challenge everyone in here to do this week is I'm going to challenge you to read those 3 chapters in Matthew. Read the rules of engagement for yourself. Again, for some of us, it might be for the first time. And as you read it, I just want you to ask yourself, how would this look if I actually started to live this way? What would that practically look like in my life if I took those rules of engagement and made them my rules of engagement? The book of Matthew is in the second half of the Bible called the New Testament. It's the first book in the New Testament. broken out in chapters. Chapters 5, 6, and 7 contain the Sermon on the Mount. We have Bibles out at the Info Center. If you don't have your own, you can go out there and grab one. But I'm going to ask everyone in here to accept that challenge this week. It's the first challenge. Here's the second challenge. Next to number 2, I want you to write the name of one person this week that you will engage. Maybe someone's going through a tough time at work, and it's just as simple as writing an encouraging note to them, just saying, hey, you're not alone. Just want you to know I'm thinking about you. Here for you if you need anything. Maybe there's someone that we've been putting off, and we know that they really need or want some of our time just to maybe download stuff that's going on in their life. And maybe this week we actually give them a call and say, hey, when can we get together? Simple ways to engage. Maybe there's a customer. Maybe you're in sales and there's a customer. And you know what? Just simply by acting with integrity, you know it's going to speak volumes to this customer because you're in an industry where integrity is not really valued. Well, maybe this week you just follow through on commitments excellently so that they can see the integrity with which you live. One person. One person. God, and as we close, I just ask that you would help us all to overcome the deception of the thief this week and choose to engage, because you want us to make the same statement that Jesus made with his life. And that statement is that I am engaged. And that's what we ask in your son's name. Amen. On the video, Bono said that he hopes you pick a fight and get in it. Get your boots dirty. Get rough. And I think that's a great word to go out on. So go. Get your boots dirty. Engage. Thanks for coming. Have a good weekend.